Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
And hello, everyone. Long time no see. Well, here. It's been quite a while since I've been on the show. Robin's been kind of holding the fort down because I've been very, very sick for quite a while. Robin's had his days. He's not been feeling very well either, but he's been filling in and just kind of going solo on it and handling things for me. And so before we get going with the guests and stuff, what's going on, Robin?
Oh, not much. Just kind of just trapped inside the house in the garage and stuff like that. So not a whole lot of anything happening too much.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? This is just like, this is out of a movie.
Yeah, I was talking to your sister earlier, and I would love to say that this is going to be done anytime soon, but I don't think it's going to be done anytime soon. I was talking to a friend of mine in Colorado today that's a paramedic, and he said it's just crazy out there. He said things, the way things are going and all. So everybody just needs to kind of stay away from everybody, and be safe, and let this thing run its course and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, there's unfortunately a lot of people not listening. but yeah, I mean, people really need to listen to what they're telling them. I mean, because if you stay in and you're not around people, then it's not going to have anywhere to go. So then they'll be able to start getting everything contained and hopefully get back to normal. You know, I mean, it's like I know people are getting anxious, wanting to get out now, you know, and run around, but it's like they're really, it's just hurting things because, you know, you keep getting out, it's just prolonging things to get back to normal because more and more people are getting sick.
Yeah, when you figure that person, that last person that catches this has to stay away from everybody for at least 14 days or it's going to start all over again. So
yeah,
it just can keep going and going.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, I mean, hopefully it gets kind of under control soon, but I'm with you. I don't think that it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be anytime soon that this stuff gets handled and contained. You know, I mean, they were talking about, well, hopefully by Easter, you can't help but kind of laugh thinking, yeah, right, there's no possible way that people are going to go back to normal by then. I mean, you know, and of course now they've extended it to the end of April, but we'll see what happens. I mean, I've got a doctor appointment that was supposed to be April 8th. They called me and they're like, we're just going to move you out to like the end of May because everything's just so sketchy right now. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen overall with everything right now. You're just not going to see things open and it's going to be closed down. And honestly, I don't think we'll ever see the end of this. And I think it's just like it's going to be just basically a flu bug on steroids, and it's going to be around probably for quite a while. It's just a matter of trying to contain it, trying to slow it down with people that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and it's just going to take some time.
Yeah, and of course it'll definitely be helpful if they find something that can get rid of it. I mean, you know, as of right now, it sounds like they're searching frantically to try to find a cure, and I guess nothing's really going. I saw somewhere like the FDA and stuff is like approving stuff like crazy, I guess, and, you know, letting them kind of try to get it under control, but who knows?
Yeah, I seen where one doctor said there was a couple of antibiotics out there that seem to be working, and they're trying those now, and it's helping with some patients and not helping with others. And going on, but you know the problem with this whole thing is that a lot of people that are getting sick or older that have already had issues that even and I'm not downplaying this, you know, this virus whatsoever, but even the common flu would probably cause problems for them. So this is just like on steroids, and it's just even worse yet. So it's just causing that problem a lot quicker.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's scary too because I was watching the news yesterday, and like I said, something out of a movie, but the lady, I kind of caught it. I was listening to it in the background, and then it just kind of stopped, and I listened. I was like, wait a minute, she just say what? But I mean, she was literally telling, she's just like, you know, if you have underlying issues and you're having a lot of problems, if you get this virus, she's like talking, saying, well, you know, it would be good to talk to your family about what you want to do, because you might get to that point easily that you're not able to talk and stuff. And I'm like, seriously? So they're like literally just telling you, you know, hey, if you get it, you know, this could be bad. This could be the end for you, you know? So it's like, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean.
Well, and one thing that's happening too is that the hospitals are not allowing visitors. So if you catch that,
yeah,
and you need to talk to everything right now up front, because when you go to the hospital, your outside world is pretty much done. And if you have to go on a vent, or, you know, if you're intubated or something,
mm-hmm,
like that, you're not going to be talking to anybody. And you're not going to write messages to your family members, because there's not going to be anybody there. And
yeah,
the whole issue, what they're trying to tell you is, like, you know, make preparations in advance, because if you catch this, it's not going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it makes me wonder, like, you know, when people have brought this up, you know, I guess we'll throw this out there real quick. Again, I don't want to take up too much time. We can bring Steve and Jen in. But, you know, I mean, this is something that people have brought to my attention, just like sending stuff. And I always had stuff in the back of my mind, but I've been so sick last year. You know, I've never been that sick and been sick that long. I mean, I literally went months. I mean, this stuff started, like, what, about the end of August? I was sick at Ash Bash in September. I was having issues, you know, and it went on through. Now I'm just to the point, you know, this is my first time being back on the show for months, you know, and people have mentioned that, oh, this has probably been around last year, and who knows, this might have been something that I might have caught a whiff of, like in this, because I tried antibiotics, nothing helped.
Yeah, you don't know. If they did some x-rays with lungs, things like that, they probably would have seen something abnormal there. So I doubt that was probably the case, but, you know, who knows? And, you know, nobody was testing,
yeah,
for it. And they're still not really testing for it. And, you know, just before before you bring them in, a friend of mine,
mm-hmm,
who mentioned it today, and I thoroughly agree with him, is that if you're feeling not well, you know, unless it's you feel that you've got to go to the hospital because you're that bad, you don't want to go. Because going,
yeah,
to the hospital right now,
yeah,
you may come home with worse shape than you were when you went there. So you're better off,
yeah,
staying home and riding it out, because there's not a whole lot they're going to do for you there anyway, and especially,
yeah,
with this. But if you get a cold or something else, don't go to the hospital. Don't to try to get tested for this, because it's going to be tough. And he told me, he said he's seen people that are going in there, and, you know, you go in there and they test you for it. You find out, great, I'm clean of it. I don't have it. You know, but you
yeah,
walk out, and as you're walking out, you catch that one germ on the way out the door, and now,
yeah,
all of a sudden you've got it. But you were just tested clean for it, but now you've got it. And so it's not the best place in the world to go right now unless you have to.
Yeah, I agree. It's nuts. Hopefully we'll see an end to it before too long. But yeah, we're probably going to be in this for a while for this situation, and just, you know, hopefully people will start listening and just get out when they have to and stay home. You know, I get it. You get bored and stuff like that, but you're talking about your health and safety of yourself and your family members. If you get out and you got other people in the household that you're going to be around. Let's go ahead and bring in Steve and Jen and talk to them, and get everybody to hear about the group and learn a little bit more about them and all that good stuff. Sound like a plan?
Works for me.
Let's get them on here. Hey, you guys there?
Oh, yes, we are.
Hey.
How you doing?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
We're doing good. Hanging in there.
I mean, basically, we all doing what you and Robin have been talking about, just staying at home and,
mm-hmm,
staying away from people. You know, I went out today. I had to go to a bank to make a deposit. And there's just, you know, I was on the ATM machine, And the woman in front of me at the ATM was outside of a vehicle. She was a younger woman, probably about 19 or 20, probably never used an ATM before. And she's hitting all these buttons, and then she's putting her fingers in her mouth, you know, while she's standing there.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in my car behind me like, huh? You know, it's like you got to keep your hands off your face after you've touched. I mean, I was wearing gloves, you know, right? I mean, if I knew I was going to touch a machine that other people have touched, I wasn't going to, you know, have that problems with me. So it's a scary time we're living in right now. Much scarier than the ghost we're going to talk about.
it's been crazy for sure. Like Robin and I were just saying, I mean, it's just, it's like out of a movie. I mean, it's who would have ever thought that literally everything would just kind of stop functioning and this, you know, this would happen, that they're telling everybody across, like, you know, what, 150 countries, stay home.
Right.
You know, and what people have to remember, if they go out now, that they say, oh, I can't take this, I want to go out now, it just means we're all going to be quarantined for that much longer.
Yep.
Just stay inside and let that curve go down. You know, and hopefully, you know, now Trump was saying today, what, the end of April, you said?
Yeah.
That we might be out, you know?
No, we are.
So. Yeah. And who knows, it might get extended out even after that. It's, you know, as Robin was saying, I mean, it looks like there's no end in sight right now for everything. And, you know, and on top of the people not listening, and like you said, it's just going to extend. It's just going to make this even longer for people to have to be at home.
Yes, but it has to hurry up because we need to go to Ashmore.
Yeah, there you go.
See, we have an appointment set for Ashmore, I think, in June. But at the rate we're going here, I'm not sure we're going to be able to even make that, too.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I would say it's going to be close.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess
you know,
we've got
the last time we were at Ashmore, we had such a great experience that was there. There was so much that had happened to us, and our entire group had so much experiences there. We had picked up a number of EVPs and things that were all really dying to go back again, you know, and to further explore what we had found the first time.
Yeah, this place is awesome. Robin, I'm sure, has had like all kinds of things happen there that he's probably yet to tell me about. But yeah, it's hopefully, fingers are crossed, hopefully you guys get to get out there and you know, get to investigating again. And you said, how many times have you been to Ashmore?
This will be our second time there. And so I don't care if we have to wear a mask. We just need to go.
Yeah, I think everybody.
When were you guys there first? Was it last year?
Was the year before?
I think it was the year before.
All I remember, okay, Robin, was it was cold.
Yeah, it was in November, and let's just say one of our members, her teeth was chattering by the end of the night.
Yeah, the temperature
when those winter months come along.
Yes.
Yeah, it's usually warmer outside than it is inside.
Yes.
Yeah, we found that. We found that out.
Yeah, we were going out to warm up, which was kind of humorous in itself. But, you know, it's a great place for those that are listening and have never been there. You know, when I make the top five list of the places that we've gone to, and we've gone to many, you know, Ashmore Estates is right up there, right at the very top.
Yeah, it is.
Well, thanks. Appreciate hearing it.
Yeah, I'm not just saying that because I'm on your radio show. You know?
one of our members was in one of the rooms that had a desk, and he wasn't near the desk or anything, and the drawer actually flew open, and they shut it and tried to reopen it again and had a really hard time getting that to happen. So that was really cool. So we're going to hopefully be able to set a camera up in there and see if we can get that to happen again.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the great thing about, you know, not, this isn't like the promo spot for Ashmore Estates, but the great thing is that you have it wired for cameras. And we all spend so much time running wires you know, down to a central DVR that you spend probably a good hour of your investigation running or taking wires back. And it's so great to have the availability of them right there. It makes life so much easier.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we're going to, as soon as Katie Stafford gets it done for me, we're actually going to have cameras out there mounted on tripods, so you could actually even use our own camera. You know,
We just actually bought for our team, being that we do so many investigations, we bought those, Ycam cameras that work off of, you can use a hotspot on your phone as a little network. And once they start recording to the little card, you can actually turn off the network, because using the network basically just to point the camera. But at that point on, it will record the next 6, 7, 8 hours onto the little SD card that's in the camera. So there's really, the only wires is really plugging it into the wall. That's it.
Oh, that works out pretty well then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really, really good cameras. We're testing them out. If they work, we'll buy a bunch more. But, you know, they really weren't expensive, like $40 a camera, which really wasn't that bad. So
it's good because cameras have, like, they've changed so much. Technology has changed, like, drastically. I mean, and you have, like, all these awesome cameras that are out now, I mean, that people can use. It's really cool.
Many of us have those older cameras, you know, that worked with the DVR systems, and, you know, 90% of them really are in HD cameras. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you're seeing this pixelation. Is it like, you know, is someone running across the room, or is it just pixelation? Because you really couldn't tell back then. So, you know, technology has gotten a lot better. I think a lot of investigators have gotten a lot smarter on how to set up their equipment. Even setting some external lights, you know, some IR lights, maybe about 10, 15 feet away to help illuminate a room a little better so you don't have that problem.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Sorry, I'm, like, still trying to get completely over this stuff. So if you guys hear me cough, excuse me. But
that's okay. So I was in Dollar General today and coughed. And I said, you know, because my sinuses from allergies. And I said, Steve, you better stop coughing, because people are going to go running out of the store if you're walking around coughing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if you just have that slight cough or whatever, it's like if there's 50 people in there, every one of them will be looking around the corners at you.
Exactly. We'll come back. Okay. Single-handedly put Dollar General out of business, but okay.
So let's jump into this a little bit, and let's do ladies first here. Let's get Jen started, and let's get both you guys maybe to just tell a little bit about yourselves and tell us kind of what got you into the paranormal, like, you know, what experience you had or whatever it was that drew you into the paranormal and got you investigating and stuff now.
Okay, well, my name is Jen. I'm originally from Indiana. I grew up in Versailles, and I had experiences at a really young age. There was actually a woman who would come into my room, like, almost on a nightly basis, and that kind of freaked me out a little bit at the age of 7, and so that continued until I switched rooms with my brother, and after that, I didn't have that experience. However, now that my older brother is now in that room, I think everybody has been in that room now, my dad actually heard footsteps in that room and went in there to see who was in there, and there was nobody in there. So the activity is still continuing in that room, which is quite interesting. I'm a medium. I'm a psychic medium and an intuitive, and so I've kind of had these experiences, like I said, forever. And I really didn't know what to call it or what it was. I thought everybody was the same until we started doing investigations in 2009. And there were some things that happened when we investigated the Blackford County Hospital. And in 2010, which, I mean, there was like a 6-month period where a lot of things took place. And then in 2010, my cousin actually passed away, and everything that I had picked up prior during those 6 months related to him. And it was at that point in time that I realized that I was totally different. So I use my abilities to help homeowners get answers and to get closure with things that they've got going on in their life.
Cool.
So I will hand this over to Steve.
I guess it's my turn. Okay. Well, I'm Steve, I'm definitely different. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm completely different. I'm originally from New York, born and raised in New York City, which really makes me different. But my experiences started when I was a child. There seemed to be something that ran in our family. I remember when my Uncle Anthony, who was like 36 years old, had passed away. I mean, just died suddenly of a heart attack. And his mom, my grandmother, on her dresser, you know, she's an Italian grandmother, she had, you know, three or four rows of pictures and frames. His was in the back, and his flew off the dresser and smashed onto the floor. Nothing else was moved on the dresser, just that one picture. And she got up and go inside to see what it was, and she saw a picture, you know, his picture smashed. So she picked up the phone, and she called there, and the paramedics were pronouncing him dead right at that very moment.
Wow.
So, you know, hearing that story as a child, you know, I mean, hearing my grandmother talk about it and stuff, I remember it well, was kind of a little strange. But I used to work for a Catholic church down in New York, St. Anthony of Padua, and I was a church organist for them. We used to run plays. I mean, we did a lot of stuff for them. Volunteered for, I used to call bingo and everything else, probably why I started smoking years later from all that cigarette smoke. But I was sitting in the hall practicing piano. You know, I was really learning how to play certain songs and stuff. And there was a janitor from the church. He'd been there for years. His name was Pop Mazzanti. And old-timer, probably about 70 years old. And I'm sitting there playing, and Pop came walking by, going towards the back, and he looked at me and smiled. And I smiled, I waved to him, I was like, hey, Pop. And he kept walking, and I kept playing. And about 10 seconds later, I stopped because I realized that Pop had passed away a few years earlier. And I turned around, and there was no one there. I mean, I got up and went into the back, and there was no one there. And I know what I had just seen. I had just seen Pop walk by me. I mean, clear as day, full body apparition. And then it was probably about 2 weeks later, in the same church building there, there was a basement area where we'd go down this flight of stairs. You know, they had a workshop down there. They had storage for food. Plus, we had a little storage room there. And I was a musician, so we used to have all our band equipment down there. And I opened the door to go down the stairs, and the lights were on. And I heard noise down in the shop. And I just figured, I said, well, somebody's down here doing something. And I came down the steps. There's only one way in, one way out. And walked over to the room. The light was on. All the tools were out. But there was nobody in there at all. Sound had stopped. There was no place for anybody to have gone. But everything was out, laid out, as if someone was working. So probably when I was about 16 years old, I started doing my first paranormal investigations because I used to turn off all the lights down the basement, and I'd sit in my room where we had all the band equipment, which was next to that other room. And I would sit and wait until I would hear, because I would hear talking in the room. I'd hear work going on, like, you know, hammering and stuff. And I'd get up and tear butt into the other room, and there was nobody there. And this happened, like, many times. And that just piqued my interest in the paranormal. And it really wasn't until I met Jen years later that she was talking about that we did the old Blackford County Hospital, that I really said, I need to do this. This was a calling for me. And actually, while I was on the phone with the person talking about it, I was standing in a hallway and at the hospital, and all of a sudden, the door opened. There was nobody there.
Yeah.
And the elevator door opened, and there was nobody there. And nobody had pushed the button or anything. It just, it was almost like someone opened a door for me. And I know the very first EVP that we had gotten in the hospital was, are you ready to come with us, Steve? Huh. Wow. And I haven't looked back since.
Yeah, the thing with, I mean, you know, you hear all these really good EVPs coming out of some of these locations and stuff, and it's awesome. I've heard some cool stuff in Ashmore and stuff too. But I mean, it's interesting how you get full sentences back on, you know, on some of these responses you get. I mean, it's like it's incredible to hear like some of the stuff like just like that. It's crazy to hear that stuff. Hopefully I don't cut you off, Robin. If you jump in there anytime you want, I don't want to make you just have to sit there or anything. But you know, like speaking of like obviously getting EVPs and stuff, like do you guys have your favorite go to with equipment and stuff that you prefer to use?
You know,
favorite equipment? I just take myself. I don't need any other equipment.
You know, for a number of years, we were out doing library presentations around October. Seemed to be the month that everybody wanted ghost stories and stuff. And, you know, you're from Indiana here, so, you know, I mean, we'd have standing room only down in Lawrenceburg. I mean, there was one presentation where I actually had to stall for 15 minutes because the library was running around the building looking for more seats in the presentation room. We had over 100 people in there. But I get asked the question a lot as to what our favorite piece of equipment is. And you know what I always answer people? Your eyes and your ears.
Yeah.
Because 9 out of 10 times when you're looking down at an Avalis or you're looking down at the SLS, or something else, and we have all that equipment. But when you're looking down, a full-body apparition can walk right in front of you,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to see it. And that's one of my pet peeves. You know, I let other people use it in a room, but basically I'm paying more attention to the room itself because you're going to miss shadows. You're going to miss things if you're not watching and you're not listening.
Yeah, I agree. I have people that, you know, every month we do public investigations here at Rhodes Hotel. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we do the publics like that, there's a lot of people that don't have the experience, you know, investigating and stuff. They come in, they're like, well, we don't have any equipment. I'm like, well, nothing wrong with that. I'm like, because that's perfect. Because, you know, I have times it's like, just go upstairs or find a spot you feel good about and just sit down and watch and listen. That's the best thing you can do. You know, if you got a recorder,
absolutely.
Kick it on the whole time up there.
When we were in the Rhodes Hotel a few years ago, we were told to get out on 3 different recorders, clear as day. I mean, it was a Class A EVP in every room that said, get out.
That's another place that we want to come back to
as
well.
Yeah, we actually had, there was a bedroom upstairs. I remember it was down the hallway to the left. Was the preacher's room
mm-hmm.
or something like that? Because
mm-hmm.
it's been a few years since we've been there. And there was a pair of shoes that was on the floor in the place. And, you know, we took the walkthrough, a gentleman, I can't remember his name, Chris or something, that took us on a walkthrough of the building. And we all came downstairs, and, you know, about 10, 15 minutes later, lights off, and we went around to do our investigation. And when we got up to that room, the pair of shoes was sitting on the bed, in the center of the bed. And we all know, I mean, as soon as we saw it, we're like, whoa, 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 wait a second. And I was the last person out, so I know that nobody went and moved it up afterwards. But something moved these shoes onto the bed. So, again, it's paying attention with your eyes and your ears because you need to be able to walk into a room and notice something different right away.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, for us, the...
You mentioned...
Go ahead, Robin.
You mentioned sitting or, you know, taking equipment, but, you know, people that don't say they don't have equipment, they actually, everybody has a piece of equipment. It's their cell phone, and they can go to voice memo and they can record off of that. So,
right, exactly.
Or something like that, use it.
Yeah. The only time we don't like to use our cell phones is that if you have like a K2 or something, sometimes the cell phones will affect that equipment a little bit. So for us, we try to keep that equipment off and use the other stuff. But yeah, I mean, we've been on, I think we went to Chris Booth, and I think it was his birthday last year, and they went to 101 or something for his birthday, and we went there with them. And yeah, we were using our cell phones as recorders because we didn't have digital recorders with us. But, you know, for us, the best part of the paranormal is not really – the fun part of the paranormal for us is going to, like, the Rhodes Hotel, Ashmore, Pottstown, or any of those places. But the best part for us is when we're doing the private investigations for people that need help. And, you know, we've always said, you know, for PPI, it's like our ministry – to be able to help other people. If somebody comes to us and needs help, I'm not sometimes sure exactly what we can do for them other than to prove that they're not crazy. Sometimes we can do cleansings. Sometimes Jen can connect to what's there and we can actually put the person's mind at rest as to what is in their home. We just had a case about 6 months ago where we actually called Bill Bean in, the homeowners at our recommendation called Bill Bean in, and we worked with Bill on a cleansing of a home. We had been there twice, and there was a lot going on in this house, and since Bill has been there, nothing has happened since, so I have to believe that he's cleaned out whatever was there.
Yeah. I guess my problem in situations like that, too, is that I'm just a hard, you know, I'm very skeptical on cleansings and things like that. And, I mean, if it works for somebody, great. You know, hopefully it does. But I just have a hard time believing that you can tell something from the other side that we really can't control to leave and not come back. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that.
Absolutely, and you're right. They do have the ability to come back. When I go in and do any type of smudging or cleansing or whatever you want to call it, it's basically to get rid of any kind of negative energy because a spirit will only go when it's ready to go. You know, you can't make a spirit do anything that it doesn't want to do, and I just try to encourage people to kind of clear out the negative energy that's in their home, and that could be from illness or arguments or anything like that, because that in itself can kind of help slow down a little bit of the paranormal activity or to decrease it a little bit if there's not a lot of that, because negative energy can actually increase the paranormal activity and, you know, just being fearful and all that other stuff, it just increases it. So if you can do that little bit, it will actually decrease the amount of paranormal activity in a home. It doesn't get rid of it completely, but it does decrease it.
As they say, the negativity feeds negativity.
Exactly. It's almost throwing gasoline on a fire at a certain point. You know, a lot of times with a lot of the people, well, I shouldn't say a lot, but a good amount of the people that we've investigated for, we've done... This is really no joke. We've probably done anywhere from 150 to 200 private home investigations. I mean, we're the busy group that no one knows about. That's what I always say, because whenever we do go to a gathering and stuff and that we introduce ourselves as, you know, Steve and Jen from Professional Paranormal Investigations, you know, even people here in Indiana look at each other like, who are these guys? Even when we do library presentations, like, you know, never heard of you. And that's really because we're not in it for, you know, that so-called 15 minutes of fame, you know, that fame and fortune and stuff. We're only trying to help people. And if anything else, if it helping people means just backing up that they do have some kind of activity. And that, you know, when their friends or family tell them, oh, you're just crazy, say, oh, really? Here, listen to this. Or look at this video or watch this picture. You know, look at this picture. It really helps the people at least calm down a little bit in the fact that they're not losing their minds, okay? You know, like people are sitting at home now losing their minds. You're not losing your mind. You're just feeling that way. And if you look at things a little more positive, you know, in the home, some of the activities doesn't really seem to bother you and almost goes away sometimes. Or if it's still there, you really just don't recognize it anymore. It's actually strange because right now I'm hearing from people there's a lot more activity going on in their homes during this, you know, quarantine. And I have a theory on that because my theory starts on that in usual fall of every year when it gets cooler outside. People start to go inside. The activity is there inside the house. They're just not used to being locked up inside the house. During the summertime, they're used to being out, going out and doing things, and now they're home. So they're starting to experience more and more things that are going on in the home. It's just unfortunate we can't go out and help them right now.
Yeah, and it makes you, you know, and you kind of think about, like, the fact, like, some of that, you know, when people are noticing that stuff now, they're home more often and everything, too. And, you know, when you're in and out, you don't pay so much attention to stuff. And, you know, because, I mean, I have people ask me all the time, or, like, you know, like, how active is it? It's like, well, you know, I mean, it could be a lot more active than what, but, I mean, I have quiet nights, but, you know, sometimes I'm traveling and stuff, and you don't pay so much attention to it. Now everybody's confined at home. And you're stuck there, and then you're bored out of your mind, and you're paying more attention to what's going on around you. So, that, you know, there still could have been a lot of activity, and you just didn't realize it until now because you're bored out of your mind, stuck at home.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you work night shift and, you know, you slept during the day, you didn't notice it, but now you're home, so you're noticing every little sound from clocks to refrigerators to ice makers. You notice it all.
Then the humorous part is there are some people, some of the older people, who hear every sound 24/7 in their home. We had one in Indianapolis contact us once and we went up to, and she said she kept hearing this ticking sound inside the kitchen. And guys, I kid you not, this woman must have had about 7 clocks inside of her kitchen. And they were the old click, click, click clocks.
Mm.
She had clocks everywhere in her house. Like, every room had more than one clock.
You know, so, you know, there's two extremes to it. You know, I'm a little more like Robin, you know, with being skeptic. I'm probably one of the biggest skeptics, which is really bad because when we get to an investigation, 9 out of 10 times I don't even want to hear what they experienced inside of a room or something like that. I really don't. Because that's their experience. If you want me to come in with a clear head and leave there telling you, here's the evidence we found and here's what I believe is possibly going on, I have to do it from scratch. I have to do it from my own experiences and from what the evidence gathers at that point, not from being told that, hey, at 2 o'clock every morning, you know, there's a shadow that runs across this wall, because you'll set up a camera on that wall and it will do it on the opposite wall that night. So, you know, you're wasting your time almost sometimes with that. Just cover the room with a camera. Make sure you have a recorder inside the room and just, you know, take your chances of what you're going to pick up.
I tell people when they come here, I don't... They'll ask me my experiences, you know, when I'm showing around stuff, and I tell them, like, if you want to come up at the end of the night, ask, or later on in the night, whatever, go off, you know, pull me off the side or something, I'll tell you. But I don't tell the groups because, just like you said, if somebody says, well, at 2 o'clock, you know, you hear this or you see that or something in this area or whatever, even if people don't realize it, like, you kind of planted that in the back of their mind and they're going to kind of be looking for it anyway.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, I do that almost everywhere, and it's a bad thing, you know. Well, while I thought, like, the rest of our group thought that I just wasn't interested in hearing what you know, being participant in that. But I think they're starting to gather on now why I don't. Because when everybody goes and runs down this way at 2 o'clock in the morning, there's no one down the other side of the house or the building watching what's going on over there. And I'll be the one over there because I'm not going down there at 2 o'clock. Okay, I'm going to stay where I'm at. And, you know, wherever I'm getting the most activity in, or, you know, I'm a sensitive, so where if I'm picking something up, you know, and feeling something inside of a room, that's where I'm going to be. Because that's where I think the activity is going to take place.
You know, to kind of take that all one step further, as a venue owner, what I like to do is when people come to me and say, we had an experience, I'm like, don't tell me. Tell me what your experience was, and let me see if I can tell you where I think you had it. Because I think
right.
There's so many venue owners out there that will, if you go tell them you had an experience, I can pretty much guarantee you most of them are going to say, oh, yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, we've had a lot of people who had that. It may never happen ever, but they're going to tell you that because it's going to sound cool. It's going to build their property up and build their location up, and it just helps it out. But we had a group not too long ago, actually last year, I suppose, at this point, but she told me it was a medium that was there, and she said she'd seen a man standing on one side of the room. And I told her, I said, don't tell me what he looks like. Let me write it down. And they were filming in there, so they wrote down. I put it on my phone. I pulled my phone out, and I wrote down everything on my phone that I thought she might be seeing. And they were filming me writing on my phone, and when I got done, I said, all right, go ahead and tell me what you got. And she told me, and it was almost perfect from what I had written down. Everything other than, the only thing we disagreed on was I said a large bill hat, and I meant the ones with the long, round bills that go all around the hat. And
right.
And she said, I forget what she said, but it was, she called it an Amish hat. I'm like, it's the same thing. That's exactly what I was talking about with the nice large bill going all the way around. I just couldn't think of an Amish hat at the time because I was trying to do it kind of quick. Because, you know, we got a guy, a spirit that's standing over there. He's not like, hey, tapping on his watch saying, would you get going here because I got things to do, you know. And so,
right, exactly.
But, yeah, so I was trying to do it quick. But yeah, she was right on, it was spot on. And I think that's what... a lot of, you know, when you go out and ask venue owners if they've had this experience, see if they'll tell you not much, as much as, you know, let them kind of don't feed into them. Kind of like talking to a medium at times when they're trying to do a reading on you. You can tell them so much information, you might as well just, why do you do the reading? Because they're not telling you anything. You're telling them everything.
Exactly. I've had people where they do that and it's like, just stop. Don't tell me anything.
You know, we've been read by, you know, many people, Robbie Thomas,
Kim Russo, Teresa Caputo.
Who, gentleman I'm thinking of, believe. Gosh, I'm
oh,
going
Rick,
crazy.
Rick,
yes.
Thank you, Rick. Rick, I'm so sorry if you're listening. Okay, Rick's a good friend, too. I mean, but the thing is, you know, when... I don't feed them any kind of information whatsoever. Scotty Rourke is another one. You know, we don't feed them any information at all, even body language. I mean, when they're giving me a reading, my answer is like, okay. You know, and let them continue. And it's not that doing anything. I really want to hear what they have to say and not thinking that they want to tell me what I need to hear. And that was the great thing about Scotty when we did one of the Mid-Souths. We took a reading from Scotty. And basically, Scotty started telling me some stuff, and he goes, I know this isn't what you want to hear. And he says, I really don't care. He says, this is the message they're asking me to give to you. And that was good because a lot of people would have said, oh, well, you know, my mom didn't come through or my grandmother didn't come through or something. No, he was giving me the message that I needed to hear at that time.
Robin, I know when we were at Waverly and I had an experience, they did exactly what you do at Ashmore. They don't, you know, they let you tell, I mean, they do ask you questions, but they didn't say, yeah, we had, you know, a lot of people have that happen, because I had an experience there and nobody else in the group had that same experience, and neither had the owner or the person who was walking us around. So it was really cool to actually have not hear somebody say, oh, yeah, that happens all the time, when it really doesn't. So I appreciate that you do that as well.
Yeah, I was down at Floss Furnace a couple years ago, and our tour guide that was with us, I was down there with some friends from Paranormal Free Agents, and just the tour guide, one of the guys asked her, it's like, so what's the coolest thing you've ever seen in here or heard anything in here? And she's like, I've never seen anything in here. And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, I've never seen anything in here. And I'm like, I told her, I said, I think that's the coolest answer she could have given you. And they're like, why? I said, because she could have told you anything she wanted to, and you would have believed it. And I said, but she said she didn't see anything. So her credibility just went through the roof with me. And they're like, oh, I didn't really think about it like that. So
we did one year at, it was in Lexington, right? It was Scarefest, was it? And we went for Chip Coffey's. They did an investigation somewhere. And they had all these paranormal tour guides, you know, and they had us in these groups of 25, 30 people. And the guy standing there with a K2 meter, and he's up by pointing it up towards the window. He goes, look, it's getting spikes. And people all around them are like, wow, that's amazing. And I had, like, my hand up. And he goes, what? I said, do you just possibly think it has anything to do with the power lines right outside this window that you're pointing it at? And the guy's jaw dropped. And, you know, people just walked away. And I said, you know, I'm sorry to do that to you. I said, but don't do that to the other people. Give them a genuine experience, you know. Don't, you know, they're looking at you, and the same way when people go to Ashmore, they're looking at you as being the knowledgeable one. And like you said, you can tell them anything you want, and people are, and I don't want to use the word gullible because it sounds bad, but they're going to take in whatever you tell them. And I used to tell that to Daryl at Pottstown. I know he was on with you the other week. When we first started doing the website and we did a walkthrough for them and he wanted to start telling me the history, I was like, I really don't want to hear the history of the place. I was like, I really want to learn as I go along. And what we ended up doing was filming a history later on and putting it on the website. So if somebody wanted to hear the history, they could listen to it, but he didn't have to go around and tell them stories. Let them learn on their own. Let them experience it for themselves. Because I still say that's the best thing the paranormal investigators should learn from. That, you know, experience the activity yourself. Draw your own conclusions. Don't draw the conclusions of other people around you or even the other people in the field. Because your experience may be completely different than theirs.
Now,
I agree with you.
Go ahead, Robin.
I agree with you, and I think that's one thing that people need to do. We tell the history of the location. We don't even talk about the paranormal when people come through. We'll tell them the history just because I think that's important that they know the history
Absolutely.
Of the location itself. But we don't talk about the paranormal, and in fact, when we do our open houses, we don't even discuss that. We do tell people at the end of the tour on our open houses, I mean, if you want to know about paranormal, you can go down to this room. They're going to talk about it down there because a lot of people don't even want to hear about that in our public tours. But in our private cases, we'll give them the history because I think that's important because that way when they do have an experience in a location, like in the women and children's dining hall out there, if they hear like plates rattling or something like that, it's like, okay, that makes sense because this was the dining hall. But, you know, if they hear machinery running down there, it's like, well, yeah, I don't know about that. But you know, it just gives them a better idea of what each of the floors and each of the areas were used for.
Absolutely. I 100% agree.
See, in our team, we have, basically, with the exception of two members who are sisters, everyone else are couples that are in it. There's Jen and myself. There's Robert and Jake Davis, who are neighbors of ours down the road here. There's Elvin and Shana, who are from Ohio, that have been with us all the time. Actually, they live close to Pottstown. But we have Julie and Paul. And Julie and Paul are our historians. And even doing a private residence, they will do a bunch of, they'll go down to the Historical Society and stuff and try to see what kind of information they can dig up about the property prior to us going there, so that we know, like you said, if we could hear something else that, you know, you didn't know, you know, the one time it was, you know, like you say, you know, like a plantation or something, you know, when you hear stuff about corn and stuff, you say, what the heck does corn have to do with this? But at least you'll understand that it could be something further back in the history that you didn't know about. You know, and the good thing with our group...
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the good thing about our group is that, you know, we're all close friends with each other. So we know that each one of us is looking out for each other's back, number one. Number two, we also know that, you know, if Elvin was to say, I just saw something, there's no question, did he really see that? Or no, if Elvin says he saw something, Elvin saw something, or he heard something. So the good thing is that, you know, we know each other well, we work really well together, in an investigation, everyone has assigned duties, and you know, we get done, set up, and takedown is quick.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we spend more of the time there investigating and speaking with the homeowners that are there. You know, we'll go out and do a prelim for every investigation. I'm sorry, just today I just don't trust people anymore. We've had a couple of occasions where we were the high-end entertainment, except we didn't get paid. If you understand what I'm saying, you know, people just wanted to have, you know, ghost hunters, you know, on in their living room type of deal. And then how many people call us up? I don't even take the calls, but how many people call us wanting to know if we're coming with our camera crew?
Mm-hmm. That's also the reason why I do not call these people back. We actually have somebody else to call them back because they want readings on the phone.
Yeah, they want psychic readings from Jen.
It's like,
why they call.
No.
We're starting to get low on time. We got about 8 minutes left now. This is something we kind of like to ask. I ask everybody this one, but I know you do mostly the residential cases and stuff, but if you had a location that you've never been to that you would really love to go investigate, what would that location be?
Okay, we're probably going to have two different ones. So I'm going to answer mine first because mine's going to spit right out of my tongue because it was while you were saying it, the answer was there, which would be Dracula's Castle in Romania. Now, I know that we're all here talking about mutual friends of Scott Tepperman from Ghost Hunters International. I know you all know him very, very well.
Yeah.
Robin's had to work with him a number of times, and you have my condolences
That's right.
on that. But him and Jim, you know it. But, you know, they're two really good guys. But, I mean, I've talked to Scott a lot. Scott and I are really good friends. And I've asked him about that place. And what he had told me was there was more activity going on off camera than there was on camera. In other words, the owners of the castle wanted them showing these specific rooms. But like during a scene when they weren't in the scene, like him and Joe Chin, who's another fantastic guy, they would be sitting inside of another room roaming around and there'd be activity galore going on there. But the producers weren't allowed to film in those rooms. So they weren't able to pick up the activity that was happening there. And I just think that that's a really, really cool place, and I'd really love to go there.
For me, it would be Stirling Castle. And the reason is we were actually in the area. We weren't able to go, but when we came back home, they had actually found human remains in the basement. And so it was like, see, I told you we should have went. But that would be my top place to go.
Cool. I'd love to go to Dracula's Castle. That would be awesome.
I think it would just be a really great place to investigate. You know, a lot of times, you know, as I said, I don't even want to bring a lot of equipment and stuff to it because I think you'd waste more time trying to set up in that big of a place, then, you know, take some handheld cameras or, you know, use some of these GoPros you can attach to your head or strap to your chest or something like that if you want filming. But, you know, I watch a lot of these TV shows that are on now with Jack Osborne and a few others. Some of them are really, really good. The show Kindred Spirits with Chip Coffey is really, really good. I like Chip. I know you know Chip really, really well, too. Chip is such a nice guy. He's hysterically funny, as you know.
Yes.
I don't have to tell you that.
I just love him.
Yeah, you take him out of that spotlight thing. He's the man is a pisser, okay? He just is hysterical. But, you know, as I even said to Grant, I met him a few years ago at Scarefest. And, you know, we have to thank these people from a paranormal side of opening up the doors and allowing us to go into people's homes. Because before, you know, we were looked at as geeks. You know, there was something wrong with those people. Oh, yeah, they're the ones that chase around dead people and stuff. You know, and where it's become a little more accepted today because of that. And I remember his response when I told him that. He said, yeah, he said, Steve, well, could you imagine still having to go out every day as a plumber and people seeing us doing that while we were doing the TV show?
Yeah, it's definitely it's good that we had ghost hunters and shows like that to really break through and bring all this stuff, you know, and make it what it is now. I mean, that's what formed everything, for sure. Sorry, I need a drink.
I was sitting here with bottles of water next to us just in case.
Yeah. Water sitting beside
me. So people want to get in touch with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If people want to get in touch with you guys about, you know, residential areas and things like investigations, where do you guys do things at? What geographic area and how do they get a hold of you?
Well, we do most of the state of Indiana, probably about 2 or 3 hours north of us. We're at the southern portion of Indiana. We're in a town called Westport, which is around Greensburg, Columbus, that area there. We do parts of Ohio, and we do parts of Kentucky as well. As I always tell people, you know, pull up MapQuest, put Westport, Indiana, and then put in where you live. And if it comes up more than like 3 hours away, the odds are pretty good we won't be doing it. And the only reason for that is that, like, Jen and I, we own a couple of businesses, you know, web design business and, you know, a video business. One of our members owns Staple Doggy, which is an underground fencing system. You know, we all work, and it's really hard. You know, it becomes almost like a 2-day event. You have to stay overnight because after you investigate for 4 hours and it's like 1-2 in the morning, no one wants to drive back 4 hours, you know, and it's not safe driving home. So we tell people if you want to get in touch with us, go to professionalparanormalinvestigations.com. And you can find all the information you want about us. It's a brand new website we just got up. There's going to be another one, which is intuitivejenhodgson.com. Sorry, we're in the middle of redesigning that. it's all on poor Stephen's shoulders here. So much for being home doing nothing. Hopefully we'll have that back in a day or two. Back online for them there.
But they can also call us at 812-591-2127.
So again, that's 812-591-2127. And you can leave a message because we don't monitor that phone line. People call us at 4 in the morning thinking we can help them at 4 in the morning, and we really can't. So leave a message, and one of our team members will get back to you. And, you know, if you seriously have activity, give us a call. You know, we'll be there to help you. We don't post on Facebook where we're at. We don't put up information. Even if it's a business, we've done a number of private businesses, schools, daycares, and stuff. And we don't talk about where we were at because it's your place of business, and you don't want that information out there.
Yeah. Well, we're cutting it close now. We're down to about 30 seconds, so I'll wrap and tell you guys thank you for coming on and sharing your information and stuff with us. We appreciate it. You know, again, if anybody needs help, contact them. And you know, again, thank you for coming in. We
got
10
seconds
left. I'll wrap up and say thanks, and we'll see you, and we'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks, and we'll be back for another show. We'll see you guys.